You know, when we think about mathematics, it goes far beyond just calculations, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It's about developing key competencies for understanding the world around us.
And geometry is such a core part of that, recognizing objects, understanding space, visualizing shapes.
Fundamentally. Yet, its role in early education is often, well, minimized.
It gets sidelined, perhaps. Curricula seem to focus more on numeracy, and maybe educators feel less confident teaching it.
That seems to be the case documented in the research. There's a tendency to prioritize number skills, and geometry can feel more abstract, perhaps harder to teach effectively without the right tools.
So today we're doing a deep dive into a tool designed to address this, TYBoard. It's a digital educational device for early geometry learning.
That's right. The aim is to see how this specific tool integrates traditional hands-on methods with some computational features.
To foster engagement, understanding, and creativity in young children learning geometry.
Exactly. And our main source for this discussion is the paper TYBoard, a digital educational tool for kids' geometric learning by Arud Zaidi and her colleagues from June 2025.
So, digging into the problem first, you mentioned geometry is often overlooked.
Yes, despite its foundational nature.
And traditional tools, things like geoboards or lacing toys, they exist, but they have limitations.
They do show potential,
Yeah.
certainly. They help make abstract ideas tangible,
But
but they lack critically embedded scaffolding. There's no built-in guidance or real-time feedback as the child works.
okay, so a child might make a mistake or get stuck, and the tool itself offers no correction or prompt.
Precisely. This hinders that step-by-step learning process and makes effective independent exploration quite difficult.
And you also mentioned tangible user interfaces, or TUIs.
Correct. These physical objects connected to digital systems are becoming more common in education.
But they haven't focused much on geometry for young children.
Primarily, they've been aimed at computing concepts, not so much early geometry learning. So there's a bit of a gap there.
So it appears traditional tools fall short on providing that vital real-time feedback, and existing TUIs largely ignore geometry. It sounds like TYBoard is designed to step right into that specific gap.
Exactly. It's positioned as a response to those limitations. It acts as a digital manipulative, meaning it blends the familiar feel of something like a geoboard, drawing on kids' experiences with computational smarts.
How does it work in practice?
Children use colorful optical fiber threads to create shapes on the board. Instructional lights guide them.
Guiding lights.
And the system uses conductive materials to sense where the child is lacing, allowing it to give that immediate feedback we discussed.
And where is it intended to be used? Classrooms? Homes?
It's primarily designed with informal learning environments in mind, like after-school clubs, places offering flexibility and exploration.
But it could be used in schools too.
Yes, the structured nature of its activities means it's quite adaptable for classroom settings as well, supporting both solo and group work for children aged about 5 to 9.
And what core ideas, what design principles did the creators build TYBoard around?
Several key ones. First, providing scaffolding via step-by-step instructions.
Guiding the learning curve.
Second, enhancing engagement. It lets kids make more intricate shapes than traditional tools might allow.
Making it more captivating.
Third, it operates standalone without needing a computer. That increases its usability in different environments.
Practicality is key.
Also, it aligns with established curricula, specifically the building blocks framework, which is respected in early math education.
So it fits educational standards.
Yes, and it promotes autonomous learning, collaboration, creative exploration, and importantly, it's cost-effective. Around $25 to $30 per device, according to the paper.
That seems quite reasonable. What about the physical device itself?
It's about 18 by 18.5 centimeters, sized appropriately for young hands. It has a 5 by 6 grid of holes, 7 millimeters in diameter.
Okay.
It's double-sided with LEDs next to each hole. The front has simple buttons, adjust interaction level, next step, replay instructions.
User-friendly controls.
And there's a potentiometer, a little knob, to control the glow color of the string dynamically.
Ah, the glowing string. What kind of string is it?
It uses 1.5 millimeter optical fiber, chosen for flexibility and a good quality glow. The paper even mentions sanding it can enhance the glow effect.
Okay, so we have the physical design and the principles. Now, the paper highlights how TYBoard structures the learning through different modes. Could you walk us through those? How does it build complexity?
Certainly. There are 6 interaction modes, and they increase in difficulty incrementally. They're designed to align with developmental stages and that building blocks curriculum.
Starting simply, I assume?
Yes. Mode one is basic shape. Children create fundamental shapes, squares, triangles, hexagons, and so on.
How?
By following step-by-step LED guides. The system shows the whole shape first, then guides them point by point, apex by apex.
And when it finishes?
The optical fiber lights up. It provides that visual reward and confirmation.
A nice motivational touch. What's mode two?
Mode two is different orientation and size. The goal here is to teach that a shape is still the same shape, even if it's rotated or scaled.
Ah, shape constancy.
Exactly. Here, the guidance changes. Instead of step-by-step for each point, it shows the complete target shape.
So it challenges them to recall the process from mode one.
Precisely. And there's a task. Identify the odd one out shape among several presented, making its string glow red.
Okay, reinforcing identification. Mode three.
Mode three focuses on symmetry. Children learn about horizontal, vertical, and diagonal symmetry.
How does that work on the board?
They lace one half of a symmetrical shape, following guidance perhaps, and then they have to complete the other half themselves.
Hands-on symmetry completion. That seems helpful for spatial awareness.
Yes, and understanding congruence too.
Then mode four.
Complex shape. This builds on the earlier modes. It supports making more elaborate forms by combining basic shapes.
Like building something recognizable.
The example given is creating an apple shape using a hexagon and a triangle.
I see. Combining components.
It integrates concepts from the previous levels. The guidance here is shape by shape, not point by point for each part. And it encourages using different colors for personalization.
That's a clear progression towards more complex constructions. What did the researchers note about how these different levels of support cater to a child's learning path?
Well, the varying guidance from step by step to full shape to shape by shape is designed to match growing competence and encourage more independent problem solving as they progress. It reduces the scaffolding gradually.
Makes sense. What comes after complex shapes?
Mode five is collaboration. This mode pushes towards more abstract thinking, constructive and deconstructive, by having children work together.
How do they collaborate with the boards?
They can physically combine their tie boards, placing them side by side horizontally or vertically, like a patchwork quilt.
Oh, to create larger designs.
Exactly. They work together to create larger, complex shapes that span across multiple boards. This fosters teamwork, planning, negotiation, and a sense of shared creation.
That physical combining element seems quite powerful for understanding parts making a whole.
It does seem to offer a tangible way to explore that concept.
And the final mode.
Mode six is free play. This is where children can really exercise their creativity.
No specific instructions.
They can design their own geometric shapes or patterns. It may be applying concepts they learned earlier. Or they might follow general prompts like create an animal or make a landscape.
And the glowing string features here too.
Yes, it offers dynamic options, a fixed color, different colors segment by segment, or even blinking effects.
Blinking.
Yes, to inspire more expressive creations. The paper connects this to ideas like neon art or even basic animation concepts.
So it encourages applying learned skills in novel ways.
That's the aim, to let them explore and express themselves geometrically.
This all sounds quite well structured on paper, but the crucial part is how it worked with actual children. The researchers ran workshops, didn't they?
They did. Two workshops with 16 children in total, aged 5 to 9.
And their prior experience.
Notably, only two of them had used a geoboard before. Most had encountered geometry only through standard classroom teaching.
So, a relatively fresh audience for this kind of tool. What were the key findings from these workshops?
Several valuable insights emerged. First, regarding engagement and learning structure.
Yes.
The step-by-step instructions in Mode 1 were found to be critical for getting the children initially engaged and comfortable.
That initial scaffolding was important.
Very. Their lacing skills improved with practice. And they demonstrated learning geometry concepts, like identifying smaller shapes within larger ones.
What about the change in guidance in modes 2 and 3? Was that smooth?
There was some initial confusion when the guidance shifted from step-by-step to whole shape. However, after a bit of clarification, the children adapted quickly.
Showing flexibility in learning styles.
Yes, it suggests they can handle different types of instruction. And the glowing string, that was the significant factor.
How so?
It consistently enhanced engagement. It acted as a strong motivator. But more than that, it facilitated learning. By helping them segment complex figures or reinforcing shape identification when the shape lit up correctly. The paper notes this immediate nonverbal feedback is something traditional tools just can't provide.
That lighting up of the right answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very powerful for children developing abstract thought. And overall, children showed a better grasp of shapes, sides, and angles as they moved through the activities.
What about the collaboration in Mode 5? How did that pan out?
The results were quite positive. One group showed effective teamwork they planned and even drew their combined design beforehand.
Proactive planning.
Another group faced some initial challenges coordinating their individual ideas, but managed to resolve them through discussion and negotiation.
Learning social skills alongside geometry.
Indeed. Some children were even observed talking about combining even more tie boards for bigger, more intricate projects.
Expanding their vision. And the free play mode. Did it foster creativity as hoped?
It certainly seemed to. The findings highlighted creativity quite strongly. One child showed remarkable elaboration, breaking down a complex image like Santa Claus into constituent geometric shapes on the board.
Deconstruction and reconstruction.
Another demonstrated fluency by creating many variations of a design based on a single motif.
Iterative design.
And a third child exhibited significant originality, bending the usual geometric rules and using the blinking light feature to represent a moving wheel on a vehicle they created.
Using the features in unexpected ways.
Exactly. And the glowing options themselves were frequently mentioned by the children as a source of inspiration for their creations.
The findings do sound quite positive, but research often reveals challenges too. Did the paper mention any specific difficulties, areas where tie board maybe didn't perform as expected, or perhaps limitations to consider?
The focus of the publication was clearly on the design rationale and the positive outcomes observed in the workshops. It detailed the successes in engagement, learning progression, collaboration, and creativity.
So less focus on potential downsides.
It didn't dwell on specific failures or extensive limitations. Issues like the initial confusion with changing instruction modes were mentioned, but presented as something the children quickly overcame. Practical aspects like long-term durability of the fibers with heavy use, or the cumulative cost for large-scale school adoption versus the 25-30 unit cost, weren't deeply analyzed in this particular paper.
Understandable for initial research, perhaps, but they did acknowledge areas for future work.
Oh, yes. The potential for improvement was definitely noted. But the overall conclusion from the workshops was that the design elements actively supported learning, sparking interaction with the device, and also stimulating communication and creativity between the children.
So wrapping up, tie board seems to stand as a strong example of how these digital manipulatives can enhance early geometry education.
It does appear to strike a good balance between structured guidance and open-ended exploration.
Helping children grasp abstract geometric ideas through tangible actions, while also boosting creativity and teamwork.
Precisely. The design seems to embody that educational philosophy of low floors, high ceilings, and wide walls.
Explain that phrase.
Low floors means it's easy for beginners to get started. High ceilings means it can support complex, sophisticated learning for more advanced users. And wide walls means it encourages diverse approaches and creative expression.
Accessible, challenging, and flexible.
That's the idea. And the researchers suggest future directions, too.
Such as?
Customizable guidance modes, perhaps adapting to individual confidence levels. Interchangeable templates for even more complex constructions. Maybe adding auditory feedback for errors.
Sound cues.
And even the potential for Wi-Fi connectivity, which could open doors for multiplayer games and expand the collaborative possibilities further.
It paints a picture of continued evolution for the tool.
It does.
So thinking more broadly then, this approach merging the tactile, familiar nature of physical objects with the responsive, dynamic feedback of digital tech, it feels like it could have applications beyond geometry, couldn't it?
Potentially, yes. The core principles could translate to other subjects where abstract concepts meet hands-on learning.
So a final thought for you, our listeners. Consider how this blend of physical and digital might reshape learning in other areas. What new pathways could this open up, perhaps even in your own learning or creative endeavors?